HQ. This is a joint work with Rafi and Pino. And this is a possible outline. This is a talk about a new notion that is non-malleable with transmissibility with some applications. So just to fix notation, start with interactive proof system. So we have a prover on the left. So when you will see this mask, it will be a prover. And when you will see this girl, it's a verifier. Okay, so the simulator is this wizard with access to the verifier, and you know about the indistinguishability of the distributions. And this is an extractor that can be useful because by accessing to the prover and the star denotes an adversary on the party, outputs the witness, okay? Okay, so now let's consider non-malleable zero knowledge. So non-malleable zero knowledge is this game. So we have two honest parties, the prover and the verifier. This is honest, this is honest. And we have an adversary that is a man in the middle that plays on the left as a verifier and on the right as a prover, trying to prove a statement. In particular, he would like to use this proof to prove this statement. Okay. This is a concurrent man-in-the-middle attack. So the man-in-the-middle can open many concurrent sessions, both on the left and on the right. And the assumption is that he has complete control over the scheduling with the messages, okay? And, well, this is a very challenging task. And actually, if you remember the presentation by Amit that was about concurrent and malleable zero knowledge, the main property that we want to show for concurrent malleable zero knowledge is that there exists a simulator that by accessing to the man in the middle can output all witnesses for the theorems that the man in the middle actually proves. So the man in the middle will prove these statements, observing these proofs for this statement. The simulator will output, just accessing the man in the middle, will output these witnesses. Why this is a good notion? This is a good notion because once we have the witnesses, we can run against an honest verifier and we can give the proofs, right? So we can completely remove the need of these proofs, which means these proofs are useless for the man in the middle to prove these theorems, right? So this is an honest prover. And just using a simulator that gets the witness, we can prove the same statement without accessing the prover. So this means that a protocol like this with such a simulator is secure against these concurrent man-in-the-middle attacks. So it's concurrent malleable zero knowledge. Okay, another notion that we know is that of witness indistinguishability that is weaker than zero knowledge. Because there is no need, no requirement for a simulator, and just we want that the verifier, the adversarial verifier, does not distinguish the witness used by the prover for the proof. So the view of the verifier, when interacting with the prover that uses this witness, is indistinguishable from the view when interacting with the prover that uses another witness. Okay. And so it's a weaker notion than zero knowledge. Indeed, zero knowledge implies witness indistinguishability. So why do we study witness indistinguishability? Actually, witness indistinguishability helps a lot for the design of zero knowledge proof systems. For instance, the FLS paradigm is based on witness indistinguishability, and many important results like non-black box zero knowledge, non-interactive zero knowledge in the shared transmission model, and many others are based on witness indistinguishability. So now the idea is, can we use a stronger notion of witness indistinguishability for the design of concurrent non-malleable zero knowledge protocols? Okay? And we know that in the literature, in the state of the art, there is no notion of non-malleable witness indistinguishability. So let's see what we have in mind. We focus on some specific argument systems that are commit and prove arguments. where in the first message Google commits to the witness and then gives using a statistically binding commitment scheme. So it's well defined this message that is encoded in the proof. And then the prover proves that the committed message is actually a witness for the theorem that the prover wants to give. So what is for us a non-malleable witness indistinguishable argument system? It's an argument system so that a man in the middle is not able to to encode in his proofs, the proofs that he gives, a witness that is related to the one used by the prover. Okay? So this is a concurrent man-in-the-middle attack. And the goal is that the man-in-the-middle can actually give proofs here, but we want that these proofs, the witnesses encoded in these proofs, are independent of the witnesses encoded in these proofs. So informally, this is the notion, the distribution of the witness encoded in the proofs given by the man in the middle is independent of the one given by the prover. More formally, we can define this random variable that describes the witnesses encoded in the proofs given by the man in the middle when the receiver proofs for x with these witnesses. This notation is for vectors, okay, since we are talking about concurrency. And we want that these two distributions are computationally indistinguishable when the prover uses a given vector of witnesses or another one. Okay? Yes?
So are these statements supposed to be fixed
or adaptive? Oh, we can also see. For now, let's consider both cases. Can be also adaptive. Okay? It's just a definition. So in the definition, you can have both definitions. For now, it's a definition. Okay, so the question is, does concurrent malleable theology imply concurrent non-malleable witness indistinguishability? Well, one should say yes, because zero knowledge implies witness indistinguishability. But if we compare the two definitions, it seems that this implication does not hold. Indeed, what is the requirement here for non-malleable zero knowledge? The requirement is that the man in the middle, in the real game, with the prover and with the verifier, can prove a statement. And we know with this definition that the simulator can output a witness that can be used to prove the same statement. But actually, it can be a different witness, right? There is no guarantee here that the witness is really the same. I mean, the man in the middle, in playing in the real game, so interacting with the real prover, could give a proof to a verifier encoding in this proof a specific witness. While in this game where the simulator access to the man in the middle, the witness given in output by this game is still a witness that satisfies this notion, but is a different witness than the one encoded by the man in the middle during the real game. Okay, and you can see here this game. So we can assume the prover has two witnesses, and we'll use one of the two, we don't know which one. The man in the middle could encode in these proofs one of these two witnesses. And for instance, an attack could be the following. If the prover encodes W0, the man in the middle will give a proof encoding W0 prime. While if the prover encodes W1, the man in the middle will give a proof encoding W1 prime. Just if you consider this attack, you can have, for instance, that in this case, for instance, you could always have in output W0 prime, always, okay, in this case. So this definition does not necessarily imply this one, okay? It will be possible to distinguish the witnesses encoded in this proof from the one that the simulator gets. Actually, okay, so we have this definition that is based on the indistinguishability of the witnesses encoded in the proofs by the man in the middle. And it's possible to give a definition using the simulation paradigm. So the definition is the following for any PPT adversary A, that in the main individual attack proves statements X to a non-verifier. There exists a PPT simulator that just accessing to A proves statements to a non-verifier with proofs that encode with W. So why this is stronger? Because in the previous definition we just considered the two distributions, the indistinguishability of the two distributions. Here we are assuming that not only the distributions are the same, but also that there exists a simulator. Okay? And indeed this definition is very strong and implies the previous definition of concurrent malleable with distinguishability and also implies concurrent malleable zero knowledge. So it's interesting because it seems to be a strong definition of security definition against man in the middle attacks.
When you say concurrent malleable zero knowledge, then the simulator has to output the witness set also?
Yes, it's this notion.
Okay. Can you just leave it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's just that it's a lot of text.
No,
oh,
yeah, yeah. Witness encoded in the proof is defined here, which means we consider commit and prove arguments, where first is commitment of a message. It's okay?
Yes.
Okay. So it's well defined what is the witness encoded in the proof, because we use a statistically binding commitment of the message. So for each proof, there is one witness encoded in the proof. No way. Say it again, sorry? The statement?
Yeah.
It's the usual one. You can have the adaptive one, the non-adaptive one. It's just a definition. Can also, for instance, in this case, can be the man in the middle that gives to the prover during this game the statement. Can choose a statement with a pair of witnesses and this is the game. No problem. You can have all variants of this definition for the input. Yeah, these are definitions. Yes? Statements are fixed? No, in the definition you can have also adapted. Ah, okay. No, for this notion, in the brain model, which is also adaptive.
So are the honest statements also?
For this notion, this one, in which there is no simulator, but just indistinguishability, which is also adaptive. Okay. Now you're fine, right? Okay. Okay, so first, just one should pay attention to what is a non-malleable protocol, because a non-malleable protocol should be a protocol that is secure against man-in-the-middle attacks, right? So what is now a non-malleable argument system? Actually, we don't know, because you can find in several papers definitions, but this can be another definition. And this is an argument system, and this is another definition of non-malleability, and this was not included in previous definitions. So we should pay attention to what is the right notion of non-malleability for argument system. I don't know, in the future we should finally decide what is a non-malleable argument system.
Can you go back to the definition of, or go forward, I guess, to the
definition, this one?
CNMWI plus.
Yes.
There. So.
Actually, this is concurrent non-malleable zero knowledge plus the witnesses extracted, because here the problem is that this one can be the witnesses that the simulator outputs can be different from the one that actually the prover in the man in the middle in the attacks can include in the proof. Okay? So if you here add also this, that the witness must be the same, that's why it's plus. This is actually
but for all
plus is this plus this. It's the
combined slides too much.
But the simulator will have to output the same witness which the man in the middle is using for all.
Not here. Here is not required. For non-malleable zero knowledge, this is not required.
But But this you automatically get if the zero knowledge proof is for a non-trivial language for which you cannot support a witness.
Yeah, you don't tell the witness, so you don't know. Still, yeah, because here the witnesses that is given in output, it's the one that is encoded in the proof in the real game. So the man in the middle will not know that this witness. So still there is an initiability. So this is a satisfying notion if you care about this initiability. Okay, now next step is, okay, we have this notion, two variations, a weaker one and a stronger one. And the problem is, can we construct such a gadget? And the second problem is this gadget useful? Okay, so first answer, actually, there is a very related notion that is the one of concurrent non-malleable commitments given by Passer Rosen, which is very similar. So we can compare. So for any PPT adversary A that in an attack commits to messages W, there exists a PPT S that by the way outputs commits to messages W. If you think to messages and witnesses, the two notions are similar. And indeed, the question is maybe these commitments are useful for constructing concurrent non-malleable witness distinguishable argument system. Indeed, next slide, we can see the construction. The construction is just an observation on top of the concurrent non-malleable commitments by Alon and Rafael. So actually, they have a protocol that is basically this one, with some variation, but basically this is the protocol. So there is a commitment to the witness, and then a statistical concurrent non-malleable technology argument of knowledge, which is only half concurrent, one left, many right. And we simply, there is a cosmetic variation on the statement. This is the only difference with respect to the construction. So actually, the two achieves concurrent non-malleable witness distinguishability. So, there's nothing to study in particular. The proof is the proof.
So, what the interest of this slide is that you're going from one left, many right to many left, many right, or what?
No. This is their scheme. This is their construction of concurrent non-malleable commitments. It's precisely this, and because this is their paper, another paper by Alon and Rafael, the one left, many right, zero knowledge. Then this, plus the commitment, is another paper by Alon and Rafael that also achieves full concurrency.
Okay.
Many left, many right. Okay. So in the paper we have the definitions of concurrent malleable witness indistinguishability, and then we show that actually this tool satisfies the definition. Okay. But not this definition, not this, the previous one, okay? This one. Why? Because for instance, this is a constant round protocol, the one by Alon and Rafael. And of course, this doesn't satisfy this definition, because this is even stronger than concurrent zero knowledge, and this is an important open question, the construction of a constant round concurrent zero knowledge. Okay. Concurrent non-malleable zero knowledge is stronger than concurrent zero knowledge. So we do not achieve a constant round concurrent zero knowledge. So this notion is really strong. So we achieve constant round concurrent non-malleable with a distinguishability, but with the weaker notion, without a similarity. Okay, so, and yeah, this is also input adaptive. Okay. Now that we know how to construct this gadget, maybe this gadget is useless, so let's hope we can use it in some way. Yes, we have it in the plain model, and we try to use it in another model, that is the Bayer public key model. So let's see the definition. This is a model proposed by Rahn et al. And there is a key registration phase, stage, in which the a verifier simply posts his public key on a public file. Okay? So the important step here is that there is no bound of the power of the adversary in this step that can have complete control of this file. So there is no trusted party that is managing this file. So a simply set up stage in which each verifier sends his public key, no more than that. Okay? It's also non-interactive, this stage. And the receiver of the public key can be the adversary. So it's really a very cheap assumption. And then the proof stage is actually the game of the man in the middle, of concurrent malleable zero knowledge. The only difference is that the public file is given to all parties, and also the verifiers can use their private keys. Since they generated the public keys during the key registration, they have the corresponding private keys. It's much weaker than the public infrastructure because here there is no trusted party, there is no certification authority. Okay? Keys are completely untrusted. Can be wrong, can be whatever you want, can be decided by the man in the middle.
So the adversary can modify the keys?
Sure. I can choose his keys adaptively on input to the keys of the other players.
But the honest verifiers, their keys will be posted correctly? Or?
If I send my key and then this is modified, of course I'm out of the game, I cannot play anymore.
So
the public key file will define the players.
You only get...
It's an identity. The public key can be an identity. If you modify my identity, I'm not in the game anymore. And I cannot play protocols, right? When I post my public key, I'm just saying this is my identity.
So if you
want to play with me, this would be my identity.
There are no guarantees provided to players if the public keys get modified. That's...
Yeah, it can be modified. Because the man in the middle, yeah, we give all the power to the man in the middle. This is the definition of the public. The man in the middle can manage, this public file is untrusted, completely untrusted, and can be updated by the man in the middle as he prefers. Of course, you can have a denial of service because you can remove a player from the, okay.
I see. But there's some consistency, so the same public key file is handed to everybody.
Yes, that's why this is
so that's the power.
This is the assumption, because it's like a pre-processing, because you have to do it before starting the proofs. Okay? You cannot update the public file while playing the proofs. Okay?
And no bound means it's not parliamentary?
Who, sorry?
Adversary?
It's polygraph, yes. Okay, so let's see. We have the key registration stage, and a verifier generates a pair of public and secret keys, and posts its public keys there. The man in the middle, on input to the public key of the verifier, can generate adaptively chosen public keys, and has an auxiliary information that is the output of this adaptive generation. Okay? So the file actually is completely controlled by the man in the middle. And this is the proof stage of the public key model, when the file has been established. So finally, the man in the middle will say, this is the public file. And this will be decided by the man in the middle. Then parties have the public file. Verifiers have the secret keys. The man in the middle will have the axiom information. That's it. And we play the game that we defined as some slides ago. Okay? So how to achieve concurrent non-malleable zero knowledge in the bare public key model? So what's the problem with the previous construction? The previous construction was in the plain model, was a construction of a concurrent non-malleable witness and distinguishable argument of knowledge. That is a notion without simulation, okay? So here we want concurrent non-malleable zero knowledge. So we want to simulate theorems. So we have to describe the protocol. So we have to describe the key registration stage and the proof stage. And the key registration stage is the following. Simply, the verifier will generate two random messages, applies a one-way function, and the output will be the public key. This is the proof stage. It's a double execution of the gadget defined some slides ago. So the first the verifier will prove, using a concurrent malleable witness and indistinguishable argument of knowledge, will prove knowledge of one of the two secret keys. Okay? Then the prover will prove knowledge of a witness for X in the language, or of one of the two secret keys of the verifier. In particular, the verifier will use just one of the two secret keys here, okay? Because he needs just one of the two to run this protocol.
Question.
Yes?
So then we should consider knowledge of that of the key model. Does the simulator get access to the secret keys for the tuning verifier?
No, of course not. So now what is a man-in-the-middle attack against this protocol? Is the following. First of all, the man-in-the-middle can generate this entry adaptively on input this entry. Then the man-in-the-middle can try to run a protocol with the prover, and this is the entry of the man-in-the-middle, so this will be the chosen protocols. Then the man-in-the-middle will try to use this proof to give this proof to the verifier, okay? This is the attack now, okay? Okay, we have to prove now that the protocol, the original protocol, this one, is a concurrent malleable zero knowledge argument of knowledge in the very public key model. Okay, this is the attack of the man in the middle. Let's see the game now. Assume the man in the middle will succeed in this attack. We now use a simulator that first, okay, will compute running the, you can see when it is in this direction, it is simulating the verifier. Okay? So the man in the middle will run the honest verifier algorithm. The public keys will be generated using the same algorithm. Okay, so it's a perfectly the work of a honest verifier. Even here on the right, he's perfectly simulating the verifier. Okay, he knows one entry. So on the right side, the simulator will play precisely as a verifier. Okay. Instead, on the left, the man in the middle, the simulator, sorry, will do different things. Actually, it will be the simulator of concurrent zero knowledge of the paper by Ran et al. That achieved concurrent zero knowledge in the public model. And what's the trick? The trick is the following. Okay. Here, the simulator does not have the secret key of the prover, of the man in the middle, does not have a witness for X. So how to run this protocol? The simulator will be both an extractor and an honest prover. Here, it will work as an extractor, and it will get one of the two secret keys of the man in the middle. And then it will be an honest prover here. So it will run as an honest prover, using as a witness the secret key extracted here. Okay. So on the right it's a perfect verifier. On the left is actually a prover with the only difference that he's playing, he's using a different witness. Okay. So for concurrent malleable zero knowledge, we have to prove that first. Think the distributions are indistinguishable with respect to real game and simulated game. And second thing that we actually can output, all witnesses for the proofs given by the man in the middle. Two things. Okay. The first thing is quite easy because it's mainly based by this observation that. Here he's working perfectly as a verifier, and on the left he's actually simply using a different witness. So here we even don't need the non-malleable witness indistinguishability here. It's simply witness indistinguishability is enough. And indeed, in the paper by Rahn et al., they didn't use more than witness indistinguishability. And second thing, it works in polynomial time. Why? Here is rewinding the man in the middle, so there can be a problem like concurrent zero knowledge. Actually, there is no problem because once the simulator has the secret key of the man in the middle, he will be straight line for any section will be played with this entry of the public file. Do you see the point? The point is that the simulator has to play this protocol without having a witness. By extracting the secret key, he will have a witness. And if he runs then many execution of this protocol, he already knows the witness, so he doesn't have to rewind the man in the middle anymore. Okay?
So how many times
it's an extraction procedure. So if you run an extractor and so in polynomial time you get his secret key here, because you run the extractor here. So in polynomial time you get one secret key, which means with respect to one entry of the public file you get the secret key. Since the public file is polynomially bounded, the total number of rewinds is polynomial. And it's independent of the number of sessions that you are going to run. Because at some point, the simulator will be straight line. Because it will know all secret keys. Okay? Yeah, expect.
So here you
realize
that this file is fixed at the beginning.
The file is fixed after the key registration stage. And this is important. Okay. This is basically how to prove concurrent zero knowledge, and this is done in the original paper. Now, the real problem is how to hard to put the witnesses here of the man in the middle, okay? How to really show that the man in the middle attack is not an attack. This is what we want to do. So, and this is what we are going to do to show that the man in the middle attack doesn't work. So what's the difference with respect to the previous case? The difference is that more or less we do the same, but here, once we have finished the work with the man in the middle, so he proved 100 statements, 1,000, 1 million statements, one by one, we run the extractor, okay? We run the extractor, and here there are three possible witnesses, right? So it's not really true that we get a witness, but it's not necessarily true that we always get Y prime, okay? Because if you get Y prime, we are done, because this was the requirement for concurrent malleable zero knowledge. Okay, so we get one of these three witnesses. If we get the first one, done. if we get this witness, the second one, still it's okay. Why? Because here we only used one secret key. If with this extraction procedure we get the second secret key, we can simply use this approach to invert a one-way function. Simply, we don't know, for instance, this. We just know the output of the one-way function. We run this game, and we get the original message in the domain. Okay, so this can be used to invert a one-way function. So this case is okay, this case is okay. The only negative case is that we run this protocol, we use one of the two secret keys, and when we extract here, we extract the same secret key that we used. In this case, we don't satisfy the notion of non-malleable zero knowledge, we don't break any one-way function. So what? So the proof has to be more complicated. Okay. So we have this case, just discussed it now. We are using one secret key, and we will extract here one of the two secret key, and it will be based on the one we used, because this is the distribution that we are giving to the man in the middle. Okay, and we get this. Just, I use the red now color, just to show the proofs given to the man in the middle, and green for the proofs given by the man in the middle. And now we use, we try to use the man in the middle in the Bayes public key model to break the non-malleable Withers indistinguishability in the plane model of the subprotocol. Now, what do? We have a real prover on the left and a real verifier on the right. And the simulator will play this game by relaying messages, by forwarding messages with the man in the middle. So this game is precisely this game. There is no difference. I just changed the order. Okay. Actually, there is a difference because here there is the simulator, but here there is the prover. So simply the computation here is not performed by the simulator, but by the prover. Okay. Okay. So if this is the game, so what's the problem? Let's consider the problem again. We use this secret key and we get this secret key. Okay? So if this is the case, I do it twice. We can this works for b equal to 0 and for b equal to 1. B is this b, okay? Now simply this is same picture but with b that is 0 and 1. Okay? Okay. So using secret key 0, we get 0. Using secret key 1, we get 1. What does it mean? This means that this is a man in the middle that breaks the concurrent non-malleable Withers indistinguishability of the subprotocol. Why? We have an honest prover on the left that, in case he uses this pair of witnesses, the witness encoded in this proof that I give to the verifier is this. In case the prover will use this pair of witnesses, the witness encoded in the proof that I give to the verifier is this one. Okay, so they are completely related, as you can see. So this breaks the concurrent non-malleable Withers indistinguishability of the subprotocol. Okay. So finally, this is another example that Withers indistinguishability helps for the design of non-malleable zero knowledge protocol in general. And also for the non-malleable case, now we have an example with this new notion that we have. So let's compare concurrent non-malleable zero knowledge. We have one round in the shared random string model. So a physical assumption or the need of a trusted third party. Still, we have concurrent non-malleable zero knowledge with superpolynomial time simulations or angels. We can have it with bounded concurrency, with timing assumptions. In the plane model, this is represented by a MIT, with a polylogarithmic number of rounds. And this work can show how to achieve a concurrent non-malleable zero knowledge constant round, but with a setup assumption that can be compared to the other one, because here there is no trusted third party and the security is with respect to a polynomial time simulator. And actually there is no timing assumptions during the protocol, just a non-interactive preprocessing, that's it. Okay? So questions so far? Okay. So now in the last minutes, I want to show you if we can do some more, if you can have some more results using these gadgets. Okay, so we know from this paper by Ran et al. That universal composability for any functionality can be achieved if you have the multi-instance commitment functionality. Okay, and in the paper by, or already mentioned by Ran in the previous talk, by Boots et al., they showed that the multi-instance commitment functionality can be reduced to the key registration functionality. Okay? So the key registration functionality is a functionality that knows the private keys of the players with the guarantees that each party has a well-formed public key, and the public keys of the honest party are safe in the sense that the adversary does not know the private keys of the honest parties. Okay, so this can be implemented in different ways, and actually there are there are many possibilities presented in this paper. These possibilities are mainly based on the existence of trusted third parties. And there is also this possibility. You can assume that a party can give a zero knowledge proof of knowledge, can choose its own secret key and public key, and can give to an authority a zero knowledge proof of knowledge of the secret key, but this must be out of the UC framework, must be isolated. Okay, there must be no concurrency with it, no malleability. Okay, so we actually try to do something different with respect to this case. So without trusted third parties, we try to propose a different setting in which we can achieve the same result, but without this isolated standalone execution. And this can be the idea. So we have a key stage preprocessing that is the one of the base public key model. So each party can choose a public key. No more than that. Actually, there is one thing more, that each party can add also the public key used in the BCNP 04 framework, okay? So the same used here, for instance, in this proof of knowledge, is added in the entry of the public file. And then we run this time interactive preprocessing in which if a party wants to play later a protocol with another party, with another party PJ, then the party PI will give a concurrent malleable zero knowledge, the one given a few slides ago, of the secret key to this other party. Okay, and this will be done in the preprocessing. During the preprocessing, each party is giving concurrent malleable zero knowledge proofs of the secret key to the other parties if you are interested later in playing with other parties. Okay, what's the point? The point is that at the end of the preprocessing, with these two steps, we can implement the key registration functionality, and compared to this assumption here, still during the preprocessing, during this stage, we assume that there is no connection between the man in the middle and the environment. In some sense, in this sense, it's isolated, but still the man in the middle is a concurrent man in the middle, while here is really a standalone machine. Okay, here it's just in front of the prover and no more than that. Okay, here we give to the man in the middle the power of being a concurrent man in the middle. Then after that, the UC framework starts. So yeah, this can be compared again. So we know how to do UC with a common reference string, with trusted parties or isolated zero knowledge proofs of knowledge, relaxed security timing assumptions, or this work. This is another application with this preprocessing that I showed in the previous slide.